All right, there we go. Glory to God. Well, it's great to be here. The snow is starting to fall. Doesn't bother me. When it rains, it's liquid sunshine, and when it snows, it's frozen sunshine. It all comes from God, and that's what we're excited about. Amen. Well, greetings from Utica. My cousin and I have... there were years and years that we did not know each other. We were separated. And believe it or not, I think they all know Michael, right? Has Michael been here? No? Our cousin Michael Sweet, he's down in Herkimer. And believe it or not, we lived 6 miles away from each other, and the Lord had even separated us. And we don't know why. But all we know is that God has brought us back together these past few years. And we believe that the three of us together are making an impact. And God is going to use us mightily. And so with that being said, I'm excited about tonight. And I believe before we leave here this morning, I'm going to bring you a word. And then tonight will be prophetic, and I believe before we leave here this morning, God has already shown me some people to pray over, so I'm going to pray over you and then get you home so you can eat, and hopefully you'll be able to come back out tonight. I want to bring you a message this morning called, Don't Forget the Bones. And it's kind of a particularly important message for me. And it has to do with prophetic promises or promises in our life. Waiting for promises of God can be frustrating.
Yeah.
Right here. Sometimes we wait and we wait and nothing happens. And then what starts to happen is tension starts to set in. Disillusionment starts to set in. And then the worst thing that could possibly happen happens. We start to second guess God. Now, I was telling your pastor last night and Sandra in the car that God does not have plan A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, O, P. God has a plan for our lives. And when he speaks into our lives, the Bible says it is impossible for him to lie. The devil is a thief and a liar. But God, when he speaks into our life, he speaks promises. He speaks truth. Now, the problem we have with that is we interpret what God is speaking to us to be what we think it should be, when really God has, it looks entirely different. And the Bible says everything in his time. And we want everything microwaved. We want Dunkin' Donuts. We want McDonald's, Burger King, Wendy's. We want everything quick. And God is just everywhere but in a hurry. And we were laughing at the dinner table last night because God knows we had a lot of time to talk and laugh. Patience is not one of my fortes. And when we second guess God, we give up on the promises. And then the enemy starts to mess with our minds, like, you know, what about all those words you got? What about the words that the church got? What about those personal words you got? You know, have they come to pass yet? Where are they? See, he starts to taunt us. I want to encourage you today to carry the promises that God has given you to the day of fulfillment. I want to build your faith today. I remember, as, you know, we were praying downstairs, and I don't know, I have a hard time praying. I start praying, then I just shift into prophetic. And the word of the Lord that was coming downstairs outside your pastor's office was to break the chains. Now, I want you to know, I did not come here to talk to you about breaking your chains. I want to build your faith. But I heard rattling of chains as we pulled in this in your driveway this morning, and I felt the Lord say, tell them that I want to break the chains off of their lives and things that have been holding them back. And I said, I ain't telling them that. You know, that's not what a guest ministry comes in and does, you know. And we were downstairs, and before I know it, the words were coming out of my mouth, and your pastor is like getting all excited because the Lord was speaking to him about that this morning. So I believe that God is wanting to do something great in this church. I remember when we got a word from Mark Sharona or Joe Rowe, one of the two gave us a word, and he said, Charlie, there's a day that you're going to travel overseas, and you're gonna meet queens and kings and presidents of countries. This was shortly after we were saved. I'm like, wow, what did this guy eat before he came to service this morning? His elevator stopped going to the top floor because there is no way. We were newly saved. You know, and I was in business. I was very successful in business. And I said, this guy's Charlie's jumped the track. He's one fry short a Happy Meal. You know, he's not the brightest crayon in the box. I mean, I had every excuse. Now, say this with me, 11 years. Again, 11 years. We get invited to the Dominican Republic by the president of the Dominican Republic. And he gets Mike and I tickets, Mike Cervello, who was my pastor at the time, and puts us on an airplane, first class, to go to the Dominican Republic. We get met with jeeps and guys with gun belts and everything, and we're with the ambassador of the Dominican Republic, and he's going to us. He meets us for the first time, and he's in the car with us and this honor guard, and he goes, you know, we're going to the palace. And he goes, I've never been to the palace. And I'm like, wow, this is incredible, you know. So, you know, we go to the motel first, and, you know, we get all dressed up in our suits and everything, and they come, and the helicopters land, and we get in the helicopters, and up we go in the helicopter, and we're flying to the palace, you know, and we go in, and the palace is gorgeous, and then we go into the president's office, which is about the size of the sanctuary. I kid you not. And there's this big desk, and there's this big man sitting behind this desk, and he stands up, and he's got a Bible on his desk, and it's opened up to Psalm 91. And I reach over the desk to reach for his hand to shake it, and it was like everything went into slow motion, and the word of the Lord came to me a second time. And he said, there will be a day that you will travel to foreign countries and you will go into the offices of kings and queens and presidents of companies to shake their hand, that you will help them. 11 years later, the word came to pass. See, if you would go with me to Ecclesiastes 3:1, a very familiar scripture, there's two kinds of times. There's chronological time, which most of the men will be watching when I preach today to ensure that I'm on time. And then there is a kairos time, which is the God's time, which a lot of ladies like because they like to bask in the things of the Lord. Just kidding. Seasons and times is what's being talked here about here. And it says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, time to pluck. And it goes on. And down a ways it says, a time to keep, a time to throw away, a time to tear, a time to sow, a time to keep silent, a time to speak. By the way, that's a real key verse right there. I've learned that it's best to really follow that. There are times to talk and there's times to shut your mouth, okay? And because you get into trouble. A time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace. There's times, but verse 9 says, what profit has the worker from that in which he labors? I have seen God-given tasks with which the sons of men are to be occupied. He made everything beautiful in his time. Now get this, look at this. Also, he has put eternity in their hearts, except that no one can find out the work that God does from the beginning to the end. God has put eternity in our hearts. We need to have an eternal perspective on life. We're not in life to see how much wealth we can gain, how best of a job we can get, how we could be the best of who we can be. I mean, God wants us to be the best, but all these external things and accumulating wealth and everything, if we have an eternal purpose in life like David did, which is to get people to come to Christ, to extend the kingdom of God. But God's promises is that he would put eternity in our life. And we don't know what God is doing. Sometimes we don't see the whole picture. I don't see the whole picture. You know, people say, you're prophetic. I have people, cuz, that call me and ask me what stock to buy. Believe me, if God showed me that, I'd be buying it. God starts to stir things up, and then we have to wait. That's the kind of God he is. I don't know about you, but I don't wait well. She's right here. She will tell you. I don't wait well in lines. I do not wait well in traffic. Sometimes I wish I had a James Bond car that I could just pull out machine guns out of the headlights and make my way through the traffic. Shoot out an oil slick for people that are tailgating me. Why does God want us to wait? Because he wants to build trust in us. He wants us to build, faith in us. You know, I think of that movie with Jim Carrey where, you know, he substitutes for God, and you know, and he just gets on the computer and just starts answering yes to everybody's prayer. And then suddenly everybody's winning the lottery and getting $10 a piece. And I mean, come on, you know, there's a little message in that. Put faith in his words that he speaks over you. Just don't wait for his words to come to pass. You know, God doesn't give you words just so that they're going to come to pass. He's giving you words to put faith in you. Look at Psalm 37, verses 4 through 9. Look at this. It says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Now look at these key words. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. He shall bring forth your righteousness as a light. Now look at there. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. I have to look at this scripture a lot. Wait patiently for him. Rest in him and wait. And then it says down below, cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. And it says, for evildoers shall be cut off. But look at this. But those who wait upon the Lord shall inherit the earth. We will inherit the promises of God. But we have to learn to wait. And let the faith of God start to build in us. Hebrews 11:22. I love this scripture. And this is the crux of what I'm going to, the message I'm bringing you today. It says, by faith, say by faith. It says, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. His bones! Joseph's life was awesome. He lived in the house of a Pharaoh. He was a man of faith. He could interpret dreams. His bones? Why would he give instructions about his bones? Do you understand that he was so favored by the Pharaoh that he had a place right there? His body could have been entombed in a pyramid. He could have had a king's burial. But why didn't he go there? Why? And what does bones have to do with this? What does bones speak to you? What should the bones speak to me? What should they speak to you? Bones have no life in them. You think about Ezekiel 37 when the Lord was speaking to Ezekiel and he said, can these dead bones live again? They're dead. They have no substance. But I'll tell you what bones speak to me. Bones, in this case, speak to me of what is to come. The promises. Yes, those bones, they can live again. Remember Ezekiel? Remember those bones coming to life? They were dried out, but they came to life. What were the instructions of Joseph about his bones? And we find it in Genesis chapter 50, verses 22 through 26. It says, so Joseph and his brothers, their families, continued to live in Egypt, and Joseph lived to the age of 110.
Wow.
He lived to see three generations of descendants. I'm not going to read this whole thing. And he lived to see the birth of the children, and in whom he claimed as his own. But in verse 24, here it is. He said, soon I will die, Joseph told his brothers. But God will surely come to help you and lead you out of this land of Egypt.
Wow.
He will bring you back to the land he solemnly promised to give to Abraham and to Isaac and to Jacob. Wow, what a great trio right there. Then Joseph made the sons of Israel swear an oath. And he said, when God comes to help you. Listen, he didn't say if God. When God comes to help you. God is coming to help us. And lead you back. You must bring my bones with you. So Joseph died at the age of 110, and the Egyptians embalmed him, and his body was placed in a coffin. And that word coffin in the Hebrew is also described as the Ark of the Covenant. Now, let me just say something to you. When they embalmed you... They didn't cut you up into pieces so that you could fit in a backpack. You were long. You were full length. And you were all there. And Joseph is telling the people, you carry me in this box all the way to the promised land? Are you kidding me? I don't want to carry that big box. It's going to be a long journey. And I'm going to say something to you. Two boxes were carried to the promised land. The Ark of the Covenant, which is representative of the presence of God, and the box with Joseph's bones inside of them, or the promises of God. We need to be a people of the presence of God, but we also need to be a people who will carry the promises of God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? I hope I'm getting through to you. We need both boxes. We need the presence of God, and we need the promises of God as we walk forward in our journey that God has put us on. Why didn't he want to be buried in Egypt? He wanted to be buried in the promised land. He wanted to be buried in the land of promise. He wanted to put his future, he wanted to put his legacy into the land of promise. He didn't want to be left behind. This is not a live for today type of statement. And many of us, many Christians are living for today. This is a generational statement. And I believe that there is a generational blessing on this church. As I was preparing to come here, the Lord said, there is not a generational curse on this church. There is a generational blessing upon this church. And you need to know that your words and your actions are designed to set up the next generation. We've got to understand this. We cannot have the mindset that we're displacing the older generation. No one gets displaced in the kingdom of God. God wants you, as David, resourced to the next generation. God wants you to be resourcing the next generation. How do you resource the next generation? Well, I'm too old. I'm a retired teacher. I'm a retired doctor. I'm a retired attorney. I'm a retired carpenter. I'm a retired plumber. Good for you. Take what God has planted inside of you and start to pour it in to the next generation. You have something to offer. You are a people of promise. You are a people of destiny. And if you're going to see the next generation move on, you've got to invest in them. Joseph chose to trust God for his future. Sharon and I, we live for the future. I live for what God has spoken in our life, and I will die for what God has spoken over us. We have had so many promises spoken over us, and the enemy has tried to come and thwart them, and he's tried to put a divisive spirit in us at times. He tries to put a spirit of doubt in us at times, and he tries to say, just dump your bones. Dump the promises right now. The enemy is just always trying to work on us over time, and he always uses people that sometimes we trust, circumstances that we've trusted, and they start to fail on us, and we start to look, and we start to wonder. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I have made it a point in my life. I said, they will toe tag me. I will go into the grave. Whatever happens to me, I will go down believing that if God is for me, who can be against me? When he speaks a word into my life, that it is true and amen. And no man, no situation, nothing is going to rob me from our destiny. Come on, what is robbing you from your destiny this morning? He has spoken over me and my wife. He's spoken over our church. And you know what? We could very easily say, you know what? We've carried these bones long enough. Sharon, let's just bury them right now because it doesn't look like it's going to happen. And you know what? Obviously, God has given up on us. This is what's going on in the church today. And they're starting to turn to things of the world. Joseph's instructions were, you do not get my bones now. You have to wait. You have to go on a journey. And you have to go on a journey with them, and you've got to process my words. You have to have value in those bones. You have to have value to those promises. You have to believe that you are holding on to the promises of God. Sharon and I hold on to the promises of God. We had a promise of God in our life that said our children would always walk and serve the Lord the rest of the days of their life. And then last May, we get hit with the biggest bombshell in our life. Our youngest son, our third son, his wife just leaves him a note and ups and leaves him, blindsides him completely. And the poor kid goes into his tailspin. But the word of the Lord was that our children will walk and serve the Lord the rest of the days of their life. I am not going to let go of that promise over our son. And we surrounded him, and we start reminding him of the good things that God spoke into his life, even when he was young, and what God has planned for him. And maybe this is a setback, and that's what it is. And, you know, he started to use the word failure, and I say to people, failure is not permanent unless you let it be permanent in your life. Failure is a setback, and we learn from our failures. Just like David picked himself up and he went forward, we need to pick ourselves up. And I'm going to say something to you. If all the promises of God were to come and be true and amen right away, I'm telling you right now, if you got them right away, then they're not as valuable as they are when you have to have the faith and the belief and you wait for them to come. And I'm going to tell you something. They don't come right away all the time. Most of the time, we have to carry them, and we have to carry them, and we have to carry them until they come to fulfillment. Joseph's instructions were, don't bury me now. Don't displace me. Carry me there, and wait till we get there. Don't leave me somewhere along the way. Can I tell you something? When you're carrying bones, and they're not coming to pass, and those promises aren't coming to pass. You know, what's wrong with, I'll throw a bone here, I'll throw a bone there, I'll throw a bone here. You know, it's getting lighter, you know, and I'll throw a bone there. And you start letting go of the promises that God has spoken into your life. Don't get to the promised land. Don't get to the place of fulfillment for the promises, and don't have any bones with you. But they're heavy, Pastor. I want to get to the place of fulfillment. I want to get to the place where my bones, the bones that I'm carrying, the promises that I'm carrying, I want to have something to celebrate when I get there. I don't want to get there empty-handed. I don't want to get there. You know, we've had promises in our life. We had a promise in our life that the Lord said, I'm going to uniquely take care of you in your latter years. Huh, okay. I like that. And I like words like, well, the Lord has given you favor. Ho, everybody likes the word favor. I love the word favor. Well, you know what? When the angel came to Mary, he said, I'm giving you favor. Really? What kind of favor did she have? Here she'd already said yes to the dress. She bought a case of Proactive because she was a teenager, okay? And now she's got to tell everybody she's pregnant, which back in those days you could have been stoned for, shaming the family. That's favor? Yeah. God's got a sense of humor sometimes when he uses words over us. Favor. The favor of God was on her. Yes. Do you know, as a young teenage girl, she could have said no to everything. But because she said yes, and because she put her faith in God, look what happened. Look what happened. Those people, when they were being delivered out of Egypt, little did they know that they weren't going to take the shortcut. God does not put shortcuts in our lives. Look at Exodus 13. Verses 17 and 18. Are you okay? You're awfully quiet on me. That's okay. Hallelujah. Exodus 13 says, when it came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God did not lead them by the way. Oh, wait a minute. That God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God says, least perhaps the people change their minds when they see the war and return to Egypt. Verse 18 says, so God led the people around by the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. God led the people. But God, do you understand? We're carrying this bozo's bones with us. Who is this Joseph anyway? And now we got to go the long way? 40 years they carried the bones. They carried the promises of God. Do you know God knows what's best for us? We think we know better than God sometimes. But you know what? We have to wait. I don't like to wait. I'm a control freak. I am a control freak. And my staff tells me that. My family tells me that. I belong to Control Freaks Anonymous. Hello, my name is Charlie Sweet. I am a control freak. Hebrews, in Exodus 13, verse 19, and in Hebrews 11, there was instructions of how to take care of the bones. God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones from here with you. I want God to visit me. Sharon and I, 5 years ago, were ready to turn in the credentials and say, I'll go back in the workplace. You know how the enemy works? People start calling you on the phone. Hey, Charlie, you still looking for a job? I got an incredible job. Starts at $125,000 a year. Yeah, that's what I said. I'll take it. You know, I did. I said, I'll take it. I was quick on the phone. I'll take it. And God goes, where are you going? Well, you don't understand, God. I've been carrying these stinking bones. You know? And you know what? They're not in a knapsack. They're in this sarcophagus type of thing. I'm getting older. They're heavy. I don't have a retirement plan, God. And God goes, oh, you don't have a retirement plan? Who am I? Oh, you're God. Can I give you everything? Yeah. Do I want to give you everything? Don't answer that, Lord. I don't want to know that in advance. And here's what the Lord said to me, and I wrote it right in here. You carry those bones. You carry those promises. You don't run, because if you run, I got your number. I know where you are. And you're going to run, and nothing's going to change. Oh, yeah, financially you might be better off, but nothing's going to be changed. And here's what the Lord said to me. You're going to be miserable. You know, when the Lord says to you, you're going to be miserable, you don't want to go down that road. You know what he said to me? Get underneath that sarcophagus. Get underneath that coffin and shoulder what I placed on you and carry those promises to the day of their fulfillment. I said, God, I don't want to carry the bones. I just want your presence. I just want to dance around the Ark of the Covenant. I just want to be happy all the time. I want to sing songs that are going to be uplifting. I want to sing songs that are going to bless me. And the Lord said, on your journey, you carry the presence and you carry the promises together. Because sometimes we just have all the presence of the Lord, and there's nothing wrong with the presence of the Lord. Don't leave here thinking that. But the presence and the promises of God go hand in hand. Just like you can't just have the promises without the presence. And God says, you need both of them. You need both of them. Why? We are not stationary people. God does not. I'm telling you, she's sitting right here. She will tell you, I said, Sharon, let's just sell the house, which we did do. We were in the perfect spot before we downsized. And I said, let's just move to Florida, and I'll go become a greeter at Walmart. I'll even learn Spanish a little bit. Hola. Here's your cart, you know, welcome to Walmart. Put a smile on my face and just go home at night, go to church, and enjoy life. And the Lord said to me, are you kidding me? Can I tell you something? I'm just being honest with you. It's easy to get worn out in the kingdom of God. It's easy when we feel God's not hearing our prayers. It's easy when we go through a time of fasting and prayer and something doesn't take place that we had high hopes for. It's easy to take the spoken word of God over our life and it doesn't come to pass. But God said to me, just like you have to put eternal purpose in your heart, you have to allow a prophetic eternity to come into your hearts. And to know when God speaks into your heart that he's speaking like a prophetic compass into you. He's pointing you in the right direction. He's telling you that my hand of glory is upon you. You are my child. I love you. And I understand that it's going to take time. And I understand that it might not come to pass right away. But understand something. I so love you that I want you to have such a belief in me. I want you to have such a faith in me. I want you to see that I'm up to something in your life. Don't give up on me, because I don't give up on you. We sometimes give up on God. We even give up on ourselves at times. And God says, I don't give up on you. Why would you give up on yourself? Well, God, you don't understand. You don't know what I've gone through. I'm walking through this wilderness. We're carrying two boxes. We're carrying your presence. We're carrying Joseph and his bones. And we got this promise that, you know, that it's all going to happen. But you never told us that the in-between times were going to be difficult and frustrating. My God, read this. The men and women of God went through frustrating times. At least you're not being boiled. At least you're not being thrown in prison. At least you're not being stoned. The in-between times are difficult. My wife and I are in an in-between time right now. And every morning I wake up and I go, is this the day? And the Lord says, yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. So rejoice and be glad in it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But Lord, did you forget? Have you forgotten the words you've spoken over me and my wife? You know, you said, and you know, because it sure don't look like what you said. is going to happen. Come on. Am I the only one that does this? Here's what God spoke to me. Negativity is simply the devil's language spoken by those who have his perspective. Negativity. We need to carry the promise. It's a very difficult journey. In the times when the journey is difficult, it's very easy for us to want to bury those bones. We want to drop them. We want to give up and just say, Lord, release me from the promises. I can't carry these bones anymore. And then the enemy starts to say, forget the promises. Those bones will never live, you know, and just take a few bones out, lighten the load. You'll get there. You know, just bury them now. You'll be free. And you know what? God said to me, downsizing is not in my vocabulary. It should not be in ours. If downsizing is not in his vocabulary, then downsizing shouldn't be in our vocabulary. Don't back down on the God's words in your life. When God speaks into your life, you say, yes, Lord, I receive it in the name of Jesus. I'm not going to let go of these bones. I'm not going to let go of these promises. I am not going to be satisfied, Lord, until your presence is made manifest in my life. I am not going to be satisfied until the promises come into the light, and by faith that Joseph gave those instructions to carry those bones, and by faith I'm going to carry my bones into the land of fulfillment. Friends, I'm going to say something to you. If you let go of the promises and only follow the presence, you're not going to understand the journey. You need the presence of God and the promises of God to understand why God has got you on that journey. I don't want to be disheartened anymore. I don't want to be, you know, I sometimes set myself up for my own disappointments when I should be trusting God for everything. Why? Because when God speaks destiny in my life, he has put destiny there. He is not going to take it away. And without destiny, I don't have direction. And without the Word of God giving me guidance, you know, of where I'm going and what I'm going to do, I need that Word of God. I need to hear the Word of God. Can I tell you something? You are not going to find God in any kind of technology, any kind of situation. Nothing is going to lead you on your journey to the destiny that God has for your life. Technology can't help you. Look it. I'll prove it to you. Have we got service in here? Yeah, we do. Hey, Siri, where is God?
Humans have religion. I just have silicon.
No, Siri, seriously, where is God?
I'm really not equipped to answer such questions.
It's not made up. You watch kids, they're glued. They're glued. Adults are glued. Glued to these things. Glued. How old is she? Glued. Glued. This is where we're going to find. This is, you know, I know a guy that has written some books, and he says when he writes the book, he writes the ending first. And then he builds the book around the ending. Read the ending of this book first, and you'll discover you win. We win.
We win.
We win. It may not look like the victory we think we should have, but we win. And it puts a whole new perspective on what's going on. Can I say something else to you? I'm going to wrap this up. It's probably someone who hasn't tackled me yet. You may go on your journey and get all the way there and carry all your bones, only to discover those bones you were carrying, those promises you were carrying, really weren't for you. They were for somebody else. Do you understand that we may be carrying the bones or the promises that God has given to us only to have them there to seed the next generation? See, remember, I said to you in the beginning, having eternal perspective in your life. See, if you can't have the eternal perspective like David did, David brought everything to God in prayer. He didn't let his enemies or circumstances bother him. We have to have an eternal perspective. I'm going to carry my bones. I'm going to carry my promises. And maybe they're not going to be for me, but when I get there, just like Jacob, you know, the place they were heading for was Shechem, the place of the promise. And Jacob and a lot of the forefathers, they invested in Shechem. That's where Joseph wanted to be. He wanted not to be buried in the land of Egypt where the promises were dead, where the bones were dry. He wanted to be carried to Shechem, the place where the bones were going to come alive, where the promises were going to come to pass. That's why Joseph gave those instructions. Carry me to the place where there's going to be great jubilee. Carry me to the place where our forefathers invested, and maybe it's going to be 40 years later, but carry your bones there, because when they get there, those bones are going to come to life, those promises are going to become true and amen, and maybe you're going to get there, and maybe that's where your life is going to end, but those promises that you carried with you are for your children or for your grandchildren or for somebody else or maybe for the city or whatever it might be. God used you to be the courier to get them there, and I have no problem with being a courier. I have no problem being a courier. We can't be selfish. We have to understand that we are vessels here on this earth and that God is using us mightily. God is using this house. I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I heard this morning God say that God is getting ready to put you guys into part two of your adventure. And even though part one has been a great adventure and there's been a lot of things happening, God says, draw a line in the sand, that it's time that you have carried your bones this far, and know this, says the Lord your God, that this house is going to be too small for what he's going to do. You cannot look at it through your natural eyes or your natural lenses and say, well, what can God do here? We're just a small little army. Well, let me say something to you. Small little armies take mighty cities down. Gideon, my God, God's telling him, I'm going to deliver the enemy right into your hands. Oh, you know, I'm the least of my clan. I'm the youngest of my brothers. Geez, shucks. I mean, come on, what can I do? And God is saying to him, you know what? Hey, and then God strips them down. You know, God takes his army away from them. My God, he doesn't even put swords in their hands. Why? Because when that victory came, the only thing they could do is give God the praise and the glory for the victory, because if he would have won it with that mighty army, then they wouldn't have been giving God the glory and the victory. But I'm going to tell you something. I don't care how small you are. I don't care if you're the least of your clan. I don't care if you're the youngest. I don't care if you feel ill-equipped. When God says that he is going to give you the land, he's going to give you the land. And you've got to put your faith in him. And you know, and you don't need to lay a fleece out two times. There's all kinds of preaching on that. You know, I'm just a simple guy. I didn't go to Bible college like my cousin did here. You know what I mean? I'm just a guy from theology, you know, on my knees studying the Bible. All I know is that what I saw there was the man had some doubt. He had a lack of faith. You know what? It's easy to do. We have lived there. My own wife has had to correct me. My wife was dying. They gave her a death sentence. And she would say, they say I have, they say I have. I said to myself one day, she says that one more time. Because you know, when you're going through a rough time, you know, the enemy comes in. You are capable of moving in to part two of your adventure. And I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, God is saying, don't look around you with the natural eyes. Start to look around you with spiritual lenses on your head and start to believe that God is true and amen. And what God has called this church to do, as we were pulling up, I saw a lighthouse in the front of this house. I don't know if I said this last time I was here or not, but I saw a lighthouse. And sometimes God gives me the vision twice. And I saw a lighthouse and I said, Lord, what is this lighthouse? And the Lord says, I'm going to start to call in. I'm going to start to bring in the dead. I'm going to start to bring in those that have given up on the promises. I'm going to bring in those that have been spiritually abused. And you know what? The Lord said, I'm even going to bring back prodigals. And the Lord said, you know what? Tell these people that not to get comfortable, not to just sit in the chairs and be comfortable and say, we're just this nice little church in this nice little historic area, because God says, I'm stoking the fires of revival in this place. And I don't know what's going on here. He doesn't talk to me. I mean, he's probably, you know, out of, I think, the three cousins, I'm the big mouth, okay? I got it from my mom, you know, but we don't talk. He hasn't called me up and said, hey, this is what the church is going through. But I'm telling you, by the Spirit of God, I walked in these doors this morning, and the Lord says, you tell them to stop what they're doing. You tell them to stop, and you tell them to start to pick up their faith, and you tell them to start to pick up the mantles that I have laid before them, says the Lord your God. And you tell them, says the Lord your God, that the mantles aren't too big for them, that they don't have to grow into it, says the Lord your God. But I have brought and put the mantles in front of you. If you have been working out in the fields and you have been doing labor, says the Lord your God, the mantles are not something that you have to grow into, says the Lord your God, for they are a perfect fit for you, says the Lord. And know this, says the Lord your God, in the days that are coming, I'm going to prove to you, I'm going to give you nuggets in the Spirit, says the Lord your God. I'm going to show you, and I'm going to even let it happen, says the Lord. I'm going to open up the floodgates of this house, says the Lord your God, and you're going to see some unusual, strange things begin to happen in this house, says the Lord your God. And you know, by the Spirit of God, look at what has just happened in these past 2 years, says the Lord your God. Have I not come? Have I not shown up? Have I not come and even brought some of these promises to pass, says the Lord your God? Don't sit there idly by. Don't sit there and say, well, the enemy has delivered us a hard blow. The enemy is trying to push back. The enemy will always try to push back. But know this, says the Lord your God, and when I am on your side, when I am there for you, says the Lord your God, you might say, well, what do we got? We only got a few loaves and some fishes. Know this, says the Lord. When I partner with you, says the Lord your God, miracles will happen, says the Lord your God. And I'm about to bring some great miracles into this house, says the Lord. Don't sit there. Don't shrink back. Don't say, well, you know what? We've heard these words before. Yes, you may have heard the words before. Yes, you may have said, but they didn't come to pass. Know this, says the Lord, as you're patient in me and you hold out your faith and you intercede seed and you fast and you pray and you call upon my name, says the Lord your God, I will bring things to pass, says the Lord. Don't be God's frozen chosen, says the Lord your God, for I am starting to thaw out this house, and I am about to release the gifts of the Spirit in this house, says the Lord your God, for it is going to start to fall upon people, and you're going to sit there and you're going to say, what has happened to John? What has happened to Mike? What has happened to Mary? What has happened to Sally? Know this, says the Lord your God, but a new anointing is coming upon this house, says the Lord your God. I'm breaking open a fresh alabaster box, says the Lord your God, and I am going to smear the healing oils, and I'm going to smear the sweet-smelling ointments upon your life, says the Lord your God, that you will be a strong torch, that you will be a strong light, that you will be that lighthouse of prayer, you will be that lighthouse of miracles, that this will be a house that will draw people like nobody else has been drawn before. Know this, says the Lord your God. There have been churches in this area that have come and fizzled out and started and fizzled out, but this will not be a church that will fizzle out. This will be a church where the fires of the Holy Spirit will be stoked and those revival fires will come. And know this, says the Lord your God. People will come here and they will be watered. And even before one note is played, before one word is sung, people will fall on their face at this altar, says the Lord Lord your God. In repentance, says the Lord, for I am calling this church to be a help church, a church that says that there is a sick and dying world out there, a church that says no matter what you're going through in your life, whether you've had to go through whatever you've gone through, maybe life has just brought you bad things, maybe you've been incarcerated, maybe you've made stupid mistakes, maybe you've done dumb things, maybe life has just handed you a bad hand, but know this, this will be a house like a hospital where people will come in and they will be healed and they will be mended and they will be carried into this house even by you, says the Lord your God, that you will walk down the street and you will see people that are hurt, and like the Good Samaritan, you will pick them up and you will carry them in, says the Lord, and you will tend to their wounds, says the Lord your God, and then you will bring them and they will be refreshed and they will be restored. For Galatians 6, 1, 2, and 3 is upon this house for those that have given up, for those that people have outcast them from other churches because of the mistakes and the foolishness that has gone into their life, that this house will be known as a house of restoration where people will come and be restored and they will be made whole, and where they were giving up, yes, even those that were ready to commit suicide, even for those that were about ready to fall off the face of this earth, they shall be restored, and the word of the Lord shall go deep into them, says the Lord your God. And this house will be a house of duplication. This house will be a hothouse. This house will be a greenhouse, says the Lord your God, where people will come and they will be planted in their pots, and they will start to strengthen and they will mature. And you, as a people of God, will step up to the plate and you will start to allow the things of me start to manifest in you that have been suppressed. For I am going to stir up the gifts that are deep within you, says the Lord your God. They are no longer just meant to sit there and just lay dormant, says the Lord your God. For the days of being dormant are over with for this church, says the Lord your God. For I am coming, says the Lord. I am coming for part two of your adventure, says the Lord your God. You're going to see greater salvations. You're going to see marriages strengthened. You're going to see families come into the church, says the Lord your God. You're going to see signs, wonders, and miracles, says the Lord. But you must believe. You must carry your bones. You can't drop your bones along the way. You must believe, as Ezekiel was told by the Lord, can these bones live again? Yes, they can. Prophesy. Prophesy. You have the ability, each and every one of you, to prophesy into situations. You have the ability to prophesy into people's lives, and those things that were once dead will be made alive, says the Lord your God. Can you believe, says the Lord? Can you believe for a new day? Can you believe for a new hour? Can you believe that a new faith is coming upon you, says the Lord your God? Can you believe that a new wind of my spirit is about to blow through this house, says the Lord your God? A mighty gushing wind, says the Lord, and the grace from heaven shall blow with it, says the Lord your God, and people will know, and the word will get out, that that is a place that we can go. That is a place where God resides. That is a place where I've given up and no one cares, but I've heard that that is a place where the river of God is flowing. Tie yourselves to the horn of the altar, says the Lord your God. Do not be blowing off course, but know this, says the Lord, I have put a destiny on this house. Find it not strange that this house has risen up from the ashes, says the Lord your God. Find it not strange, says the Lord your God, that people are wandering in the doors. Find it not strange that people are saying, I was once dead. I was living in deadness. I was living where there was no spirit, where there was no presence, but I stumbled into this place. You didn't stumble into this place. You were prayed into this place, says the Lord your God. You were prayed by a mighty men and women of God that said, we will not be denied our destiny. When you speak something, Lord, we hold on to it and we won't let it go. You were prayed. God You did not find me. I found you, says the Lord your God. I came looking for you, and I pulled you up out of the mud, and I cleaned you up, and I put a robe, and I put a ring on you, and I said, you are my child, and though you may be adopted, I treat you like you're my own flesh and blood, for you are, says the Lord your God. Know this, says the Lord. Be encouraged this day. Do not step back. Don't let fear. Do not let doubt. Do not let circumstances come and rob you, says the Lord your God. Know this, says life will happen. But know this, you have life that is more abundant when your trust and your faith is totally in me, says the Lord. Though there may be times of sadness, though there may be times of ashes, though there may be times of sackcloth, says the Lord your God, the days of visitation upon this house are upon you, says the Lord your God. I am coming and sitting by your well to give you a fresh, cold drink of the water of my spirit, says the Lord your God. It is a new day and a new hour for you, says the Lord. Don't sit back. Oh, Jesus. Don't sit back, says the Lord your God. Don't sit back and say, someone else can do it. Know this, says the Lord. It's a call. The trumpet call is sounding. It's all hands on deck, says the Lord your God. Get ready. Ready the ship. Get ready, says the Lord your God. Get ready for it's coming, says the Lord. And my very breath shall be in your sails, says the Lord your God. And you shall sail into your destiny. And this will be a house of hope. This shall be a house of faith. This shall be a house. A house. Many people might say, that's a church of misfits. Know this, says the Lord. I love when my sanctuary is filled with misfits. I love when my house is filled with broken people. Humble yourself and pray and believe, says the Lord your God, for the misfits will become those that will take leadership roles in the community. The misfits will be the ones that will start to bring and invigorate the economy. The misfits will be the ones that will go out into the highways and byways and bring a ray of hope and sunshine in life, says the Lord your God. Know this, the days of hope deferred are over with in this area, says the Lord your God. And you might say, well, this is a wealthy area. People don't need this, don't need that. Know this, says the Lord, just because they don't live on the streets doesn't mean that they're not poor in spirit. They might have the healthiest bank accounts. They might have the best jobs. But if they don't have me, they are living in terrible times, says the Lord your God. They might have all the money. They might have all the stature, but their marriages are falling apart. Their children are running astray. Know this, says the Lord. I am going to deliver the poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich into the hands of this house, says the Lord your God. Get ready, says the Lord. Get ready, for this multi-generational blessing is upon this house, says the Lord, that the preaching in this house will reach all levels, from the smallest of the child to the oldest of the person, says the Lord, from no matter what kind of background, multicultural, no matter what it is. Know this, says the Lord your God. I have called this house to be able to meet everybody at every level, says the Lord. For I have called this house to be a place of touch, just as Jesus was one that would reach down and stoop down and touch people. That is where it is at, people. If you will reach out and touch, if you will reach out in faith, and you will believe, says the Lord your God, know this, says the Lord, I will be there, and I will be that touch, I will be that spark, and it will energize something, and it will waken up the dead bones inside of the people, says the Lord your God. For I have caused you to carry your bones this far. Don't give up on them now, says the Lord. Carry them to the day of promise, says the Lord your God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Glory to God.